Okay, so as Ursha said, I'm going to be speaking today about something called crate digging, which I but this is actually the definition that could be found on Urban Dictionary online. It's a cultural practice that basically involves searching through old discarded vinyl records and looking for old, forgotten, unknown tracks that are deemed valuable in one way or another. I'm going to speak about the history of this practice, which probably many of you are not familiar with, both in general, shortly, and in the region mostly, or particularly in socialist Yugoslavia, or ex-Yugoslavia rather. Maybe to relate to the topic of this conference, I will try to pinpoint some of the, well, I would say these institutional qualities of this phenomenon that could be attached to it, and I will actually focus on relevance of this practice towards what we know about history of popular music in Yugoslavia and how it can contribute to our existing knowledge and how can it change it potentially. So my kind of main argument is that crate digging represents a new form of music archiving, of music research, but also of producing new knowledge, which kind of, as I said, expands existing interpretations, and that are all kind of linked and have that do-it-yourself ethos around it. I mentioned briefly what crate digging is, and it has to be distinguished from pure record collecting or from just record shopping. So one of the essential qualities, distinguishing qualities of crate digging is that it involves searching for something new and unknown. Crate diggers want to have a record which is not known. Of course, record has at once been produced, but it had kind of slipped under the radar either of critics, of music industry, and it has not been commercialized yet. Or it crate diggers even take some of the known things, but this is more rarely, and put it in another context. The other thing is that what I mentioned is that it produces new forms of knowledge, new categories. So crate digger would typically go through secondhand record store and dig through. This is the word dig. He would or she would rather he mostly males. I think almost exclusively they're all males. So they would search through vinyl records, which are really not categorized at all. They would go to piles of records at someone's attic, and then would search for something that they consider valuable in some sense, whatever they are searching for. And by finding, once they find, and typically they would probably, you know, hear 30 LP records, just LPs, just to find one song that they could use and reuse in a way that they want. And so the thing is that there is this kind of adventurous dimension to it, this exploratory feeling, because you never know what you're going to get, unlike purposely shopping for the records. So you just kind of see, and then kind of diggers end up being amazed by certain qualities of these tracks. And this is actually this quality of our kind of new way of archiving, a new way of kind of contributing to the existing knowledge, is something that drew me to this phenomena. And as Ursha mentioned, my background is from history. I don't know whether there are any other historians in the conference. I mean, I did in my PhD, I did deal with media and with music, but I'm primarily a historian. And what drew to I got involved into this whole phenomenon through my ongoing project, which deals with something that I labeled Yugoslav disco culture. And actually, this began as a small project. I was As I researched New Wave, Yugoslav New Wave in my previous project, I wanted to write just a small piece about the projected antagonism between the Yugoslav New Wave and punk and disco, which was in big part also a media construct. And actually, as I said, by disco culture I refer to this space, discotheque, that is organized around reproducing of music that is played by DJs, also about the, I would say, free form of freestyle dancing that evolved within this context. And the third thing, which I didn't actually expect it that I will encounter, is exactly this historical music genre called disco. And as I was writing this piece, I really wanted to focus on this social practice, how it, the feedback of this disco craze, Travolta style in socialist Yugoslavia, because disco was supposed to be like consumerist and escapist, and how this transferred in Yugoslav socialist context. And then, as I began my research, I looked through the internet, I saw some compilations, some like blogs, which were titled something like Yugoslav Punk, Yugoslav Soul, Yugoslav Disco, something that I didn't know actually existed. Growing up in the 80s, my music was New Wave and punk, and the other would be Estrada, which there was a kind of polarization between two. But I didn't know that I would, that there is something as a original Yugoslav disco idiom out there. And it was Grave Diggers who put that label on it. So actually I wanted to research the phenomenon. This is, you know, when I realized I might have something bigger than just like one simple chapter. So, as there was actually not really, not much research on the subject, I began contacting these people who were Grave Diggers and began interviewing them. But I didn't limit myself only in to now ex-Yugoslavia, but also did Eastern Europe, because the same phenomenon could be seen also regarding other former socialist countries in Eastern Europe. So one of the people whom I'm interviewed is Gabor Vali, also known as DJ Shuriken, and I wrote him. I said, you know, you do this Grave Diggers compilations. Can I talk to you? And he promptly responded. And he said, you know, I wrote a PhD on the topic at Goldsmiths in London, and only recently, just like a month ago or something like that, he actually put it online on Academia Edu, and whoever is interested in the subject should really look it up, because it's excellent. And Gabor is actually interested in something different, and poses, his main focus is a bit different than mine. He, being a Grave Digger himself, is interested about the kind of communal integrative forces that occur between Grave Diggers from various parts of the world. And as I said, I was primarily drawn to the repercussions of the Grave Digging for actually our understanding of popular music in socialist Yugoslavia and in socialist Europe in general. Something more about the origins. Gabor, as I said, is a Grave Digger, and he's also a DJ. So one thing that you will also find on these urban dictionaries is that the term actually originated within the hip-hop communities of DJs. And DJs actually search for these breaks, for these samples that they could reuse in their routines. And this is important because it points to two important kind of aspects of creating. One is you have the practice itself is both entails this continuation element. So they were searching for historical breaks that they could use, but then they wouldn't only reproduce it, but they would kind of speed it up and use it in a kind of innovative way. And their aesthetics were different from those that actually made them, and from the musicians who made them. So they have like that different angle. The other thing is that creating also kind of points to this kind of relation between local and transnational. So Grave Diggers all of them start out by kind of researching their own local musical heritage. This was also, and this started with hip hop DJs. What they did is they went to their parents' collections, looked what is there, and then used it. And only afterwards, once they realized, you know, how many things there were recorded, they started to with Afrika Bambaataa, and later on they started to expand the kind of potential fields and genres of music from which they could drew from. And this is actually another kind of distinguishing feature of crate digging, is that so you have. Just a second. Okay, I'll come back to round it up a bit. Before I'm gonna my final part of my paper will deal with how crate diggers contributed to the knowledge of Yugoslav popular history. However, I want to pinpoint how this crate digging has this anti-institutional aura around it. So first, it is the practice itself occurs in mostly this anti-institutional and non-established, non-corporate context. So you buy records at second-hand record shops, or at flea markets, or at ethics, or you go to these like communal record gatherings where you exchange information and like. The other thing is that second distinguishing feature of crate digging is that you have to buy it when it's cheap. So you have to buy before it's commercialized, and this is really a drive of these crate diggers. This is really a kick, you know, when they buy something for a couple of bucks, and then it ends up being you know worth, I don't know, 100 or 200 euros. And this is something that happens with these Yugoslav digs. Another thing is, even you have now okay, so crate diggers eventually, they are not only hip-hop DJs, but crate diggers, DJs were always kind of looking for new songs. This is not something particular for crate digging, but they were mostly looking at certain genres. Crate digging in general is interested in all of this obscure music and in different genres. So as the practice kind of spread and really went beyond only hip-hop DJs who used these samples, you have a new kind of crate diggers, which really, with the advent of internet, which really search throughout the internet for these samples, for the new songs. And this is again something that goes against corporations, because they download it, of course, illegally, illegally things. And another thing is that what they came up with is so both the archival work and the research work goes against these institutional gatekeepers. They create these counter narratives of music. Here you see funk, soul, jazz, funk, disco from ex-Yugoslavia. Funk, soul, if you go through any history of Yugoslav popular music, you will not find these labels. So they are the ones who kind of rewrite these things. Finally, the product that they put, one of the main products of crate diggers, first they go out and have party and play in clubs. But the other one is they put their digs in mixtapes, in kind of compilations. And these mixes are almost always not released officially. As I went through the crate diggers throughout Eastern Europe, there is only one exception, a big exception. This is the Polish collective called Soul Service, which actually had managed to establish some relations with the official institutional Polish record label, and they can freely use their archive. Usually this is not the case. This one is another compilation that is really kind of bootleg, and most of, especially from ex-Yugoslavia, are bootleg. So they're not official. There are some exceptions, but really there are a few of them. So they are kind of platforms for spreading. This is things like Mixcloud, SoundCloud, similar. Okay, I have 5 months. Yes, okay, I'll go to the Yugoslav thing. So, just to map out certain key actors on Yugoslav creating scene. One is Jeljko Kelita, an architect for from Belgrade who lived in London for a long while, and actually he's a kind of pre-crate digger, because His time was even before the fashion spread throughout Eastern Europe, and he was a jazz aficionado living in London, went into this and became a part of this scene that investigated rare jazz grooves, and he started his label Cosmic Sounds and published virtually for each of the Eastern European countries, published jazz tunes, unknown jazz tunes from these countries. And actually the practice totally changed from his time, because he did his mixtapes from his own records, and he spent 2 months for one compilation. He said, now I can do one per day, because there's so much material now, and the information spread as well. The other, which kind of really started this phenomenon now in this recently and in the age of internet, although that was before Discogs, I will not speak now about Discogs, but this is also an interesting phenomenon which maybe we can relate in the questions, are Tetkine Radosti, who are a DJ collective from Ljubljana. This is another anti-corporate kind of anti-establishment kind of quality, because a lot of these crate diggers form collectives and they call themselves collectives. So Tetkine Radosti is another, actually it's a side project of one DJ collective from Ljubljana, and they were actually the first who began this ex-Yugoslav kind of groove parties. This is important, how they approach this. So they even go against this occasional archival practice of official labels. They claim that, and this is the fact, that when, for instance, an editor from Jugoton or Croatia Records or ZKP, whatever the name is now, RTV Ljubljana, they kind of re-release certain songs and certain albums, but they don't add anything new to it. For instance, Otto Pesner, they would just like release his old records, but they wouldn't think that there is Kerija Dama, like She's a Lady, a cover of She's a Lady, where young people could kind of dance and find now this contemporary. The same is with this side of Darko Domjan, who maybe some of you have heard, and all of this generation from 60s, 70s heard this Ulice Jarogovana, and they would never think that the B-side is actually a funk breakbeat track that can be used and young people would dance today. There's Smeji Šećer from Rijeka, who spread this crate digging scene, so he started with funk, and his recent kind of revelations were dealt with children's songs from ex-Yugoslavia, and also Roma Čoček tradition, which kind of he also relates to the funk, which is very interesting. This compilation that you can see on the slide is by niche DJ Funky Junkie, and he already had like five of those, and I'll try to kind of conclude, and I'll just leave last sentence maybe to kind of connect with the Jugo nostalgic kind of paper that was before mine. So the thing is that this, as I say, growing up in the 1980s, I was kind of really, I learned that there was only new wave and punk and nothing, and only thing that kind of counter that was Estrada and Schlager, which was supposed to be shit music, and you know, you wouldn't listen to. And certain authors that and certain acts they are included in these songs they come from totally different backgrounds. There are some from pop festivals, Schlagers. There is jazz to it, and this is this new perspective with different kind of aesthetic eye from the established critical gatekeepers that they brought about. And kind of forced us to think of other things. During the mid-70s, famous Yugoslav press magazine Jukebox had one issue devoted precisely only to funk. And there was it's a great article, 20 pages, one single paragraph about Yugoslav funk, the point being it doesn't exist. And now we see that, you know, there is a certain body of work that can be defined like that. The other thing which crate digging led to me was to think about the exceptional qualities of Yugoslav socialism. Growing up in the 80s, I was not I was kind of segregated from the Eastern Europe, but we kind of knew at least like the general trends what was going on the West, and there was this feeling that Yugoslavia is somehow special, that it is almost like the West, and it is certainly by far the most progressive country. And as I went and as I listened to all of these fun compilations from other countries, I realized that there was like great music also in the other Eastern European countries. And this is something that I also now have difficulties of persuading some of the older DJs who still think that Yugoslavia was something special, although new generation, having experience and having found all of these gems from Eastern Europe, kind of grew to accept. Final thing, how do you is this, I didn't prepare this, I was just thinking when Anna and Sergen were talking on that panel, is crate digging across ex-Yugoslavia a form of Yugo nostalgia? I don't know, I wouldn't, in what the way I kind of understand Yugo nostalgia is that it has this sentimental feeling of how things were better than they used to be, than they are now. The other thing is that these concerts that you spoke about are actually not really inventing something new, but they are just replaying something, so the context changed, but this is not something that was not known. This is, and many of these crate diggers were drawn and were kind of spread their research to whole Yugoslavia precisely because they are searching for new things. And the problem was, and a certain Eastern European countries already, these crate diggers from, for instance, from Poland, they think we more or less found everything that is out there. In Yugoslavia, this is not true. For instance, Tetkin and Radosti precisely began searching Belgrade scene and Zagreb scene because they didn't think that there anything like this existed in Ljubljana and in Slovenia, although this turned out not to be true. I'll leave it here, so I'm open for any kind of questions.
Thank you.